institutions. The evangelical Christians are opening a Bible college right now in the Silicon Valley. People aware of that? They're opening a Bible college. Those people in FAP, you want to see in FAP? You go to a Christian gathering and you watch that money roll. You watch it roll. They give out. And don't forget, I had a thing there, but he didn't put it on. There are, those people have ikhlas, you see. But it's ikhlas bidun tawfiq. That's what Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah says. He says it's ikhlas without tawfiq. Because the Quran has two concepts, mukhlisun and mukhlasun. They're both in the Quran, passive and active. You can have active ikhlas, but if you're not mukhlas, if Allah hasn't given you that tawfiq, for whatever reason, it's His hikmah, you know. وَلَا يُبِلُّ بِهِ إِلَّا الْفَاسِقِينَ Allah only takes fasiqin, so Allah knows, and we don't question the hikmah there. But the idea is that they have sincerity. You want to see people with sincerity? I saw Christian missionaries in Africa. Those people is mind-boggling what they do to spread. And they're coming from wealthy places in America, supported by their communities. So what we need to do is start headhunting. Really, we need to headhunt. Who? We need journalists. And I was told by Mahbub Khan, I was told by Mahbub Khan that we have unemployed journalists. Unemployed. Muslims that have graduated from college. Why don't we have a newspaper? I mean, a proper, Islamic news. Christian Science Monitor. Why don't we have a Muslim hospital? There are 10,000 Muslim physicians in this country. 10,000. Can you believe that? I don't even think there's that many Seventh-day Adventists. They have three hospitals and teaching hospitals. Why don't we have an Islamic teaching hospital that incorporates Islamic medicine as well, not just Western medicine? I mean, there's use in Western medicine, but we have a system of medicine that's also useful. And other alternatives, Chinese medicine, homeopathic medicine. Why aren't we doing research and things like this? You see? And we can do that. This is totally within the realm of possibility. And engineers getting together, getting out of these corporate structures and doing things synergistically, working together. And it can be done. So we have to think about that. Another interesting quote. Significant problems we face cannot be solved at the same level of thinking that created them. You see? We have to be creative, innovative. And that's part of the idea of, you know, the Allah's earth, wasn't it wide enough for you to make immigrate? In other words, didn't you look at all the possibilities? And that's one of the meanings of that ayah, because there's an inward hijrah as well. Didn't you look at all the possibilities? You said, kunna mustada'feen, we were just weak. See, that's ajiz. That's the one all Allah ghalib. That's not an excuse. Alhamdulillah. So, basically, that's... This is, you know, this actually was formulated. I mean, I've been thinking about it a while, but I'm formulating most of it today, so I'm developing it, inshallah. Alhamdulillah. So, do we have any question or comment, Abdullah? Oh, tafadhal, you want more money? Alhamdulillah. Allahu Akbar. La la la. Tafadhal, ya.
Now begins the khutbah given by Hamza Yusuf at the Santa Clara Masjid on January
12th, 1996. ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وصلواته وسلامه على رسول الله على أفضل خلق الله سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد بن عبد الله وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين وصحابته ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فيا عباد الله ويا معشر المسلمين أوصيكم وأوصي نفسي بتقوى الله السر والعلانية الحمد لله أحمد إليكم الله سبحانه وتعالى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول في حديث يرويه ابن عباس رضي الله عنه عبد الله ابن عباس حبر هذه الأمة يقول كنت خلف النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu was given the title of the Habr of this Ummah, which is one of the most honorific titles, which is the scholar of this Ummah. ترجمان القرآن, the interpreter of the Quran, the one that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, اللهم فقهه في الدين وعلمه التأويل. Give him understanding in this deen and teach him to interpret. Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنه, who was at about the age of 13 or 14, he was born 3 years before Hijrah, and he died, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم died, he was 15. And this hadith is related, Imam Nawawi relates it, and he says that Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنه said, I was standing behind the Messenger of Allah, and he said to me, صلى الله عليه وسلم, يا غلام. And غلام in the Arabic is somebody who's the first hairs of the mustache are appearing, just entering into puberty. He said, يَا غُلَام, إِنِّي أُعَلِّمُكَ كَلِمَاتٍ, I am certainly going to teach you some words, كلمات. And then he said, اِحْفَظِ اللَّهِ يَحْفَظْكَ, guard Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which means guard the hudud of Allah, the boundaries of Allah, يَحْفَظْكَ, and Allah will guard you, Allah will preserve you, Allah will protect you. اِحْفَظِ اللَّهِ تَجِدْهُ تُجَاهَكَ, and again repeating the same thing, and you will find Allah before you. In other words, Allah will be there for you. If you are there guarding the hudud of Allah, the borders, the boundaries of Allah. And in another riwayah, he said, تَعَرَّفْ إِلَى اللَّهِ فِي الرَّخَاءِ يَعْرِفْكَ فِي الشِّدَّةِ, that if you are aware of Allah when things are easy, Allah will be concerned with you when things become difficult. وَإِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهِ, and if you ask, then ask Allah. وَإِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ, and if you seek help, then seek help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ الْأُمَّةَ لَوْ اجْتَمَعُوا عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَنْفَعُكَ بِشَيْءٍ لَمْ يَنْفَعُكَ بِشَيْءٍ إِلَّا قَدْ كَتَبُهُ اللَّهُ لَكَ, and know that the ummah, which means all of mankind here, all of mankind, لِلْإِسْتِغْرَاقِ, all of mankind, if all of mankind gather to benefit you with something that it had not been in the Lawh al-Mahfuz, the preserved tablet, لَمْ يَنْفَعُوكَ بِشَيْءٍ, they won't benefit you one iota except what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has in the book, in the Umm al-Kitab, the matrix of the book. وَإِنَ اجْتَمَعُوا عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَضُرُّكَ بِشَيْءٍ لَمْ يَضُرُّوكَ إِلَّا بِشَيْءٍ قَدْ كَتَبُهُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ, and if they attempt, gather to harm you with anything, they will not harm you with anything except what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has in the book, the matrix of the books. This is pure tawheed. This is an understanding. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مِّن قَبْرِ أَن نَبْرَأَهَا. There is nothing that will afflict you in the heaven or even come to you, because here it means come to you, both خير and شر, good and evil, harm and benefit. There is nothing that will strike you except that it was in a book before Allah brought it into existence. Before Allah brought it into, because Allah is al-Bari. مِن قَبْرِ أَن نَبْرَأَهَا, before we bring it into existence, in other words, concrete, before we make it a reality, a concrete reality. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى ذَٰلِكَ وَإِنَّ ذَٰلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرٌ, and that is easy for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So nothing in the earth that happens, no calamity, no benefit, nothing that happens in your own self, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a prior knowledge of it. It cannot happen without the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the kulliyat and the juz'iyat, the particulars and the universals. Nothing. And this is tawheed. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in reminding us of that, why? لِكَيْ لَا تَأْسَوْ عَلَىٰ مَا فَاتُكُمْ, in order that you don't grieve over what you don't get in this life. وَلَا تَفْرَحُوا بِمَا آتَاكُمْ. Nor do you become overly felicitous or happy or joyful over what comes to you. وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ مُخْتَالٍ فَخُورٍ. And Allah does not love the vainglorious boasters, ostentatious people who think that what they have has to do with them. So Allah is telling us in this ayah that the wisdom behind the book, Umm al-Kitab, is that we recognize that what comes before us is an ibtila, is an imtihan from Allah, a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to see how we react, how we act in that situation. And so we should not have delusions about the benefits that happen. Because this leads to the ikhtiyal, this leads to an arrogance, and it leads to the fakhr, that the human being becomes proud and boastful. And this does not negate our ability for kasab in this world, that we acquire our actions. And this is the position of the people of Sunnah and Jama'ah, that we require our actions. When Sayyidina Ali, one man asked him when he was going to fight with Muawiyah radiallahu anhum jami'an, and he said, is this min qadrillah? He said, wayhaka. He asked him, is this from the qadr of Allah? He said, wayhaka. You have some misunderstanding. In other words, that we do things, we have to take responsibility for our actions. And what happens, we say, is from the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the intention by which we act in this world, we take responsibility for them. So this hadith is an indication. The first thing that the Prophet ﷺ is telling him is that if you guard what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us to guard, Allah will preserve you, will protect you. This is a jumla shartiya. It's a conditional statement. If the first condition is fulfilled, then the second condition is fulfilled. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us in the Qur'an many examples of the hifz. Those who yuhafidhuna, those who guard, الَّذِينِ عَلَىٰ صَلَاتِهِمْ يُحَافِذُونَ, those who are on their prayers, they preserve them. So hifz salawat, guarding the prayers themselves. This is a type of hifz of the hudud of Allah, a preservation of the boundaries of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, التَّائِبُونَ, those who make tawbah to Allah. وَالْعَابِدُونَ, and those who worship Allah. وَالْحَامِدُونَ, and those who praise Allah. وَالسَّائِحُونَ, and those who fast for Allah or go on jihad, traveling for the siyaha of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالرَّاكِعُونَ, and those who do ruku' for Allah. وَالسَّاجِدُونَ, and those who make sajda for Allah. وَالْآمِرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, and those who are commanding to good. وَالنَّاهُونَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ, and those who are prohibiting the evil, who are speaking out against evil. وَالْحَافِظُونَ لِحُدُودِ اللَّهِ, and those who guard the hudud of Allah. And those who guard the hudud of Allah. All of the hifz is what finishes this statement. وَبَشِّرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, give good tidings to the mu'mineen, because that's their description. A tawbah, there has to be tawbah. We have to turn away from our wrong actions. There has to be tawbah. There has to be ibadah. And the ibadah has to be based on hamd, on praise of Allah. If your prayer is just outward ibadah without internal hamd, then something's wrong. And there has to be mujahada, there has to be siyaha. There has to be struggle in the way of Allah. There has to be the ruku' for Allah. There has to be sujood for Allah. There has to be amr bil ma'roof and nahi anil munkar, which is the foundation of this deen after iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if there's no amr bil ma'roof and nahi anil munkar, then Allah doesn't give this community any concern, according to the sahih hadith. So this is what Allah is telling through the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This young ghulam, this young boy, this is the tarbiyah of the Prophet. احفظ الله يحفظك. Guard Allah's hudud and Allah will preserve you. But if you don't preserve His hudud, then don't expect to be preserved, because this is a shart. This is a condition of Allah's hifz. And Allah is al-hafiz. He is the one who preserves and protects. But it's based on that we preserve and protect what Allah has commanded us to preserve and protect. اِحْفَظِ اللَّهَ تَجِدْهُ تُجَاهَدْ. And if you do this, you will find Allah when you need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns us in many places in the Qur'an about those who fall asleep. إِذَا مَسُّهُمُ الضُّرُّ. When harm overcomes these people, then they فَإِلَيْهِ تَجْأَرُونَ. Then to him تَجْأَرُونَ. They like a cow. The ju'ar is the voice of the cattle. So when difficult times come, they start like cows. The only time cows ever make their sound is when they want something. You see, the cow moves when it wants something. It wants food, it wants sex, or it's hurting. Something like that. But the cow doesn't make any sound when things are nice, because it's too busy eating the grass. And this is the state of the human being. If he's not a mu'min, if he's not in muraqabah of Allah, he's like a cow that only makes a sound when things are difficult. But when things are easy, they forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So things we have to recognize, the tribulations of this life. The tribulations of this life. Now, if a lot of you probably know that they're making this situation here where they want to close down this masjid, and there's been a writ from the superior court to shut down the masjid. You see, that's what they're doing from this these people across the street. So we have to ask ourselves now. We're in a situation. And this is ibtila, it's tribulation. And there's only two possibilities. One, they lose. And two, they win. But from the point of view of the mu'min, in both situations they lose. You see? In both situations they lose. Because what are they trying to do? They're trying to shut down a building that was purchased for the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For whatever their reasons are, whether it's because you have some Israeli people who are very high up in that corporation that happen to bring their foreign policies of Israel over to the United States, and they don't like the fact that you have Muslims, including Arab, including Palestinians, praying next door to them. Allahu alam, Allah knows what's in their heart. Allah knows what's in their heart. We don't know what's in their heart. But the point is, this is what they're doing. And so if they're doing that, the first thing, they're only bringing harm on themselves. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns about people that يَصُدُّونَ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, that try to bar from the path of Allah, that try to shut down the masajid of Allah, that do these things. There are people that do that. There's even Muslims now that do those things. You know, so we shouldn't be so surprised when a non-Muslim wants to, because we've got Muslims that are literally fighting against the establishment of ibadah of Allah in the earth. So this is a situation. And in this hadith, the Prophet is letting this ghulam, this young boy, and we're more, it's more appropriate that we understand it, because we have are complete adults. He's teaching a young boy to understand the aqidah, the understanding of this deen. And the understanding is that if you guard Allah, Allah protects you. If you guard the hudud of Allah, Allah will guard you. And you have nothing to worry about. That's the first thing. وَإِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَسَأَلِ اللَّهِ. And when you ask, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now this indicates there's two types of situations. Two types of questions. The first one is those actions that are concerned solely with the ghaybiyat. In other words, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about those matters that concern the unseen world. Not going to graves like the Jahili people did, and still do in many places all over the world. asking astrologers and astronomers, like President Reagan when he was president had astrologers that told him what the stars said, you see. Or the CIA now recently admitted they spent $20 million on psychics, you see, trying to work out psychically what's going to happen in the Gulf War or something like that, looking into their crystal balls, you see. No, Allah says, وَإِذَا سَأَلْتَ, the Prophet ﷺ said, وَإِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهِ, ask Allah about those things. There is no one to ask but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We cannot, concerning the isti'ana, the seeking help, seek help from other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now there is a second type of seeking help. The first type then is haram. The second type is those things that are connected with the musabbibat, the asbab, the causes. You see, and in that situation, if it is about ihsan, in other words, somebody doing some ihsan to you, then the Prophet is teaching us through Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu that we should have iffatun nafs. We don't need people, their ihsan over us, because Allah is al-muhsan. So we don't need their ihsan. And why should we seek their ihsan? And that situation then is a type of karahiyya. It's not haram, but there's a karahiyya because it's not from iffatun nafs, karamatun nafs. وَالْمُؤْمِنُ لَا يُذِلُّ نَفْسًا. The mu'min should never humiliate himself by going to people that have no regard for him, by going to people that don't care about him, by seeking the help of people really that can't help us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. They can't help us. They can't benefit us. They need the help of Allah. So why are we going to them for their help? They need the help of Allah. Because they're going to die. They're going to have to meet their Lord. You see. We're all going to die. Including the reporters and all everybody. You see. That's true. He's going to die. You know, he's going to die. We're all going to die. We're all in the same boat here together. Right? And then we have to deal with what we did with our lives, you see. What we did with our lives. Like those reporters over in Bosnia who go around trying to win the Pulitzer Prize by taking the picture of the most disgusting mutilation possible, you see. Like the fellow who won the Pulitzer Prize for taking a picture of a Somalian baby dying, starving right in front of him while the vulture is about to eat him up, you see. He died. He killed himself. He got in a car and turned on the engine and let the carbon monoxide come in until he couldn't breathe anymore. So everybody, we're all going to die. You know, LSI logic, when the ruach comes up to the executives over there, Allah says, make it go back. Where's all your millions of dollars then? Where's your lawyers then that are making contracts with God? You see, to get you into paradise. There's no court of appeals on Yawm al-Qiyamah. On the Day of Judgment, there's no court of appeals. You're not going to go and say, oh, wait a second. I've got, no, this isn't fair. Isn't there a superior court here? Isn't there a court of appeal? No, that's it. Because you're now in front of Malik al-Muluk. Ahkam al-Hakimeen. You're before the greatest and the only judge. Not these judges of dunya, of the world. You're in front of the Lord of the world. And He judges. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala judges. So this is what Allah tells us. You see, and this is what the Prophet is teaching Ibn Abbas. And then he lets him know. فَإِذَا اسْتَعِنْتَ فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ. Now, إِذَا in the Arabic language, the إِذَا is a word that's used when things are likely to occur. إِن is used when things are unlikely to occur. But إِذَا, you're going to ask and you're going to need help in this world. If once you're born, you're going to have to ask and you're going to need help. Now, some of the Sahaba, even if they drop the rope of their camel, even if they dropped the rope of their camel, they would not ask somebody to pick it up for them. They would get off their camel and pick it up themselves because they didn't want to ask anybody. There are Sahaba that did that. And the Prophet took bay'ah with some of the Sahaba not to ask them anything. Like Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. He was commanded by the Prophet not to ask anybody for anything. Even in those things, it is permissible. He didn't even ask for help from the physician, which for most of us, it's a wajib. If we need the help of the physician, we have to go to the doctor. Not like Christian scientists that don't believe in doctors. No, the Prophet commanded us, go to the doctor. But even Abu Bakr wouldn't do that because of the degree of iman. And Allah says, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. To you alone we worship and to you alone we seek help. Now it is permissible to seek help in those things in which you must take asbab. Allah has commanded us to take the means. And this means, if it's necessary to do those things to ensure the victory in your condition. But we should be aware of when there's a fine line of when it's about ihsan and when it's about the dururat, the asbab that are necessary. And then the Prophet ﷺ said in the second riwayah of this hadith, وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ مَا أَخْطَأَكَ لَمْ يَكُنْ يُصِيبَكَ. And know that whatever was meant to miss you, it will never hit you. وَأَنَّ مَا أَصَابَكَ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُخْطِئَكَ. And that which afflicted you was never meant to miss you. وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ النَّصْرَ مَعَ الصَّبَرَ. And know that victory is with patience. إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. Allah is with the patient one. There has to be sabr. And this ma'a, Allah, the Prophet ﷺ could have said, inna ba'da nasri, inna ba'da sabri nasr. After patience comes victory. But he said that it's with this ma'iyya, that it's with it. In other words, by the nature of sabr, Allah gives the victory. When Muslims are patient and don't lose their sense and don't lose their understanding, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them victory. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا لَقِيتُمْ فِيَةً فَثْبُتُوا وَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. When you meet those people who are opposing you, be firm and be established. Be firm, فَثْبُتُوا, be firm. And do much remembrance of Allah, because that will maintain a state of firmness. If you forget Allah in that situation, then that's what happens. You lose the tathabbut, and you begin to, like everybody else, lose it. That's what happens. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَطِيعَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. And then you have to obey Allah and His Messenger. Don't do anything that is disobedient to Allah and His Messenger, because in our religion, the end does not justify the means. You see, we're people of uprightness, of righteousness. Our means must be as righteous as the end goal. You see, there's other people that say, no, the end justifies the means, that you can do whatever you want. If your end is a honorable thing, you can do dishonorable things to achieve it. No, the Muslims say the end and the means must both be righteous, because the end is Allah's business, that's not our business. Our concern is the means to achieve the end. Whether Allah gives us tawfiq or not, that is Allah's business. That is not our business. Success is with Allah. So our end is our goal, but the means is really what we're going to be judged on, with the intention of the upright goal. وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا فَتَفْشَلُوا. And don't disagree. Don't have your hearts dispersing, because you will lose. You will fail. If you don't have unity, then you fail. There has to be unity of heart, تَأْلِيفُ الْقُلُوبِ. If there's no unity, then we fail. That's a given. We will fail. وَتَذْهَبَ رِيحُكُمْ وَاصْبِرُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. And you will, تَذْهَبَ رِيحُكُمْ, mean that your wind, your power, that which is moving you along, will dissipate. And now the word sharia in Arabic, the same root shira' is the wind of the sail of a boat, a sailboat, shira'. And that is the sail, the sharia is that which enables us to move. And the wind is that divine grace that Allah bestows on a community that struggles in His path, and gives them the strength and the power to move ahead. فَمَنْ شَاءَ مِنْكُمْ أَنْ يَتَقَدَّمْ أَوْ يَتَأَخَرْ. Whoever amongst you wants to يَتَقَدَّمْ أَوْ يَتَأَخَرْ, to go forward or to go back, to go forward with Allah or to go back with nafs, hawa, shaitan, and dunya. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns us not to be dispersed, because we'll lose the strength and power that we have as a community. And this is what Shaitan wants to do, to sow the discord, to dissemble the believers, to make them lose heart. And then he says, وَاصْبِرُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ, and be patient. If you want to achieve your goals, then you have to have patience. You can't, إِنَّكُمْ لَسْتَعْجِلُونَ, like the Prophet told the Sahaba in Mecca, you're trying to hasten things before their time. And everything comes in its time. So what you have to do is establish the means and recognize that this is struggle. By the nature of the world is struggle. لَيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى. Nothing is for the human being except what he endeavors, what he strives for. Nothing. He will achieve nothing except what he endeavors and strives for. So know that victory is with patience. وَأَنَّ الْفَرَجَ مَعَ الْكَرْبِ, and that the opening from Allah, the succor from Allah, the help from Allah, the sustenance from Allah, the relief from Allah is when you are having difficulty. That's the nature of kurb in dunya. The difficulty of dunya is that you bring the blessing that come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then you have the ease. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, وَأَنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا, and that with difficulty is ease. Surely with hardship is ease. إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. And the Prophet ﷺ said in the beautiful hadith, لَنْ يَغْلِبَ الْعُسْرُ يُسْرَيْنِ. One difficulty will never overcome two eases. Because in the Arabic language, إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا, إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. Both times the usr is mentioned with alatul ta'rif or the alif lam, which means that it's one hardship. Whereas yusra is mentioned twice without the article of definition, which